Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for Fast Break Friday with Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt, presented by Ale 81. Try new Ale 80. Zero sugar, zero calories. Zip, nada, zilch. Available at Kroger.
Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Welcome in, everybody. It's a Fast Break Friday emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios right here in Cardinal Town. Bobby V, he's out today. Unfortunately, he has a bad case of the Rona, but he's hanging in there. So you have one half of the Luminaries. Mike Pratt joins us. Mike, how are you today?
Good, Nikki, good. And now, Pops has got COVID?
Yeah, got the Rona. We found that out on the air yesterday. But yeah, he's hanging in there. Dropped off a care package last night. Whole lot of soup, and he's got the sniffles, a little fever, but he's hanging in there. You know, he's got the vax and the boost and everything. So we'll keep an eye on him. But unfortunately, it's the other Valvano in on Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 81 with Mike Pratt and Nikki V.
We got the young Nikki V. we got the young Valvano. And let me ask you this. So you're a young fella, sports nut. What did you make of the IU folks rushing the floor after the ball game last night?
Look, I like it. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool seeing Rob Phinisee being carried around last night. It is what it is. I mean, I get the idea that you got to act like you've been there before and everything like that. But there's certain programs that just embody college basketball. And college basketball is supposed to be school spirit and candy stripes and marching bands and everything like that. And when you beat your rival, who you haven't beaten in, what, the last, like, six meetings or something like that, at home.
Yeah.
And when you do it at home with a hero coming off the bench that's been there a little while, I mean, you know, let's not forget that, you know, Matt Painter and company are the fourth ranked team in the country. I thought I was okay with it. I get that there's certain programs that probably have enough rich history and tradition, and if you claim to be a blue blood, whether, you know, a former one or whatever, that there's the idea of, you know, you've been there before. But with all that said, I thought it was kind of cool. If you ask me pro or con storming the court last night, I was pro storming the court.
Well, you know, I have a different take because I'm an old guy. And Issel and I were talking. He's an old guy, too. Don't let him kid you. We were talking. I mean, we have such great respect for IU's program, the history of it, the three national championships, I believe. The Van Arsdales twins, Walt Bellamy. I mean, just on and on. Woodson, he was a terrific player there. I can see the team dancing, the team getting excited afterwards and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. I can see all that. But, you know, you are Indiana. You are a blue blood. Now, you may have struggled recently. You may not have beat Purdue recently. But let me ask you this question, Nikki. U of L and Kentucky, would either one of those programs, would their fans rush the floor after a win?
Well,
against each other,
probably not. No, but
I would hope not.
Although I don't know. There's been times this year where I felt, you know, part of the fan base wanted to rush the court for any victory U of L had, because it was there were some doldrums with the old red side, if you will. But no, I get what you're saying. I mean, I remember the when U of L knocked off Syracuse, the number one ranked team in the country, and it basically, because of that win, it punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. It was the last game in Freedom Hall. Kyle Keurig went off with a bunch of dunks. I mean, it was a fun game, and just the way that happened, I was kind of almost a little disappointed that they didn't storm the court just because of the historic, the last game and the number one and the upset and everything. So I get what you're saying. If they didn't storm the court during that game, then are there ever any court stormings that really need to happen unless it's just like a Chaminade over UVA crazy upset? I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. Maybe it was just the energy, and maybe it was the fact that I knew that Big Easy and Jack Grossman had, you know, grins from ear to ear. But I was digging it last night. I got to be honest. I was digging it. I totally get what you're saying, though. I totally get what you're saying. And if anything, maybe that's evidence that Indiana is no longer a blue blood in college basketball. I don't know. There's a snarky part of me that might be said, you know, might be thinking that. And I know a lot of the U of L and UK fan base are probably leaning that way a little bit. But I don't know. I just thought, given the whole environment, I thought it fit. I don't know. It's not a knock, but there's certain programs that have that all golly gee feel to them. And I feel like IU has it more. Maybe it's Assembly Hall. Maybe it's because it's Indiana basketball or the movie Hoosiers. I don't know. But it just seems like UK is, I mean, they're basically an NBA farm team. I mean, it's big time basketball. It has a big time feel to it. U of L, I mean, they play in an NBA arena. It's in a city. I just feel like it's a different environment than Assembly Hall in Indiana and Purdue. But I totally get what you're saying. And I actually think I'm going to put that up. Bet Rivers Twitter poll. Were you for or against IU storming the court last night? I feel like that could be kind of an interesting discussion, Mike.
Yeah, I think it would be. And I'm taking a position out of respect. And I was pulling for Indiana. I watched the game. I was pulling for Indiana. Out of respect for the history of IU basketball, going back, way back, okay, I'm taking the position that, you know, act like you've been there before. You are a blue blood. Whether you have won lately or not, you have three NCAA championships. You are a blue blood, okay? So when you beat the number four team in the country, that's not the number one team. I know it's your rival, but it's not the number one team. So I'll take the position that they should have all celebrated, danced in the sands, went out to the bars and had a good time and all that kind of good stuff.
You know, Kilroy's was popping last night. You know that.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine. Would you think our boy Big Easy or in Crean Man might have been there?
well, Crean was doing the IU post game show here, and I listened, okay. and there were some calls. I know Gus, our ESPN 680 locally here reviewer, called in, and it seemed like he had a good time. I was going back and forth between him and a sadly despondent U of L women's basketball post game with Biscuit and Chrissy Banta. Because that was a rough one, blowing like a 14-point lead, I think, going into the fourth quarter against number four NC State. That one was a tough one, but it was the best of times. It was the worst of times for the locals on the hardwood last night. But I know Jackie Boy was a little elated. He came in wafting of grain alcohol and cheap perfume. So I don't know what he got into after the post game show, but.
You know, Nick, what I would have loved to had a tape of as he was doing the post game show. I'm sure he was dancing in the studio. I'd have loved to have a video of that.
Oh yeah, no, Happy Jack is probably. I mean, he's. There's a lot of flavors of Jack I like. I like Feisty Jack. I like Hungry Jack. There's pretty much not a flavor or a mood of Jack I dislike, but happy and elated sports Jack is definitely one of the best ones. If it's like a Baskin Robbins flavor, I'll take two scoops of that. And you know he was excited.
Oh,
last night.
Yeah, and he should be.
It's something
he
that
should be.
Patty Ice is also, you know, a low key IU fan, I think, a little bit. I'm not trying to cast aspersions, Patty, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But, you know, he cares about the Indiana teams, and I think there's a little bit of Hoosier inside of him. Put that on the mixtape. But, and I think we'll get into it in the second, the local hour here on Fast Break Friday on the V Show here in Louisville. Hour two will be Patty and I. And I kind of want to get his feel because besides the SEC, the Big Ten is, I mean, I would say it's 1 and 1A in terms of how powerful the conference is as a whole in college basketball this year. And it's sports radio. It's what you do. You make crazy assumptions and pontificate and predict and everything like that. I wonder what IU's ceiling is this year. I mean, they Trace Jackson Davis obviously is a star, was limited last night, but and I'm not going to pretend like I know. I'm going to give you a detailed breakdown of Race Thompson's game or anything like that, but I do wonder. I mean, Mike Woodson seems to have a decent squad up there. I wonder how good IU could be this year.
Well, that's a fair question, and just my opinion, having watched them, I watch them whenever I can, and because I'm a basketball Benny and I enjoy watching basketball, right? So their win last night against a very good Purdue team, very good, without a standout performance by Jackson Davis, who was in foul trouble, Nikki. So without him getting his 22 and 12, you know, that team won the ball game. The team they put on the floor played with energy. They were excited. They were happy. They played together. I mean, that was a terrific effort by them. So saying that, if you can do that against Purdue without a influence of Jackson Davis, you know, you've got a pretty high ceiling, don't you think?
I mean, you'd think that, and I mean, there was a resurgence of Rob Phinisee. As Jack said yesterday, it was a player that Archie Miller, not, you know, historically not one of Jack's favorite people on the planet, who he destroyed. So there was kind of that Phoenix moment of him returning. I don't have his entrance music, unfortunately, but the Hebrew Hammer himself, America's Mensch, Jack Grossman, has hopped in studio to give his 2 cents on his Hoosiers' emphatic win last night over number 4 Purdue. Jack, how are you today, buddy?
I am doing fantastic, as one could imagine. but yeah, no, Archie ruined Rob Phinisee, and it was really nice to see him have that game on that stage. He's a West Lafayette native, too, where Purdue's located, so that meant just added a little bit for him. But I wanted to give you my thoughts on the court storming, Mike, because I know you and Dan talked about it also earlier today, and I wasn't in yet because I picked up the Beardo's pizza for the studio. You're welcome, Nick, for not eating all of it.
Yeah, good man out of you. Thank you, my friend.
Surprising and upset, I know. But here's my thing, Mike.
Speaking of upset,
I agree with everything you're saying, like tradition-rich program, they should be above that. Indiana has long viewed Purdue as the quote-unquote little brother of sorts. But here's the thing. I go back to this a lot. When I was a student at IU, it was my junior year, the Romeo Langford team ended up, you know, crapping the bed, missing the NCAA tournament. They beat Michigan State late in the season. Top five Michigan State team. It was the Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, Kenny Goins team that beat the Zion Williamson Duke team, went to the Final Four. Great team. Indiana had beaten them earlier in the season in East Lansing also. And we're sitting there. It's a two-point game with like 15 seconds left. I'm there with my friends, and they're all going like, we're going to storm the court if they win. I'm like, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, everything everyone else says. Why? You literally beat this team 3 weeks ago. They're a top five team. You've beaten them literally 3 weeks ago. And it's Michigan State. It's fine. It's whatever. But it's fun, but it's not court storming worthy. And I'm sitting there saying all this, you know, logic and knowledge and all that. The game ends. Everyone storms the court. I'm not going to be the one person to not storm the court. I'm not going to be an idiot. So I stormed the court. You know what it was, Mike? It was just a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, okay.
It was a great experience. Yeah. And for me, it's sometimes the logic doesn't matter. It's fun. It's college students having fun. And, you know, we talk about the tradition. Indiana hadn't beaten Purdue in quite literally 4,000 days.
It was that long?
Yes, it was that long. It had been since 2016. They had lost 9 in a row against Purdue. So
9 in a row?
Yeah, 9 in a row, 11 out of 12, and wow. 17 in the last 22.
Damn.
So, I mean, like, Purdue's owned that rivalry. They have. So it was a big deal, and should they have stormed the court? Probably not, but I'm not going to get mad at college kids having fun. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, it goes against the logic, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm above it.
Well, Greener, I'm not against college students doing anything because I did some dumb things myself when I was in college, okay? So, I mean, I understand the happiness, the energy, but, you know, gee whiz, I just, you know, and I love to see Fennessy being carried around and all that stuff. That was all cool. But, you know, there comes a time when you have to grow up and realize who you are and who you have been. And, boy, I tell you what, I just take the opposite side with all due respect to you and the court stormers. I would rather not see that. Now, when you go back to West Lafayette, you boys.
Oh, it's going to be a long game.
you boys have got to. You're going to have to be ready.
That's
when
fine.
You stormed the icing on the cake, see what you think of this, Creighton.
Yeah.
Was the rushing of the court. You know, you could beat Purdue, beat them the way you beat them, and all that kind of stuff. But when you rush the floor, that PO'd a whole bunch of Boilermakers.
I think just losing that game, because Purdue's done, and Matt Painter's done such a great job of, like, kind of like what Cal's done with Kentucky in the Louisville-Kentucky game, of just getting his team to play most of the time their best games against Indiana and really valuing that game and knowing how to prepare for that game. I think they're going to be PO'd and ready to go anyways. But if there's any extra motivation needed, it was definitely provided. All right, I'll let you guys get back to the show. Sorry to barge in.
No. I'm glad you did, Jack. I'm glad you did. Sorry.
Congratulations, Creighton. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Did Easy call in last night, by the way, before you go? Sorry. Did you hear from him at all?
No, just pregame.
Just pregame? Yeah. I heard the pregame on the take here locally on ESPN 680, 105.7. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel. Give them a shout out. But yeah, okay. Well, I know Jack was pretty happy. I'm glad he popped in there. I'm sorry, Mike. I was actually, again, pulling back the curtain a little bit here locally here. I know this is it's Fast Break Friday presented by Ale 81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Try new Ale 8 Zero, zero calories, zero sugar in stores like Kroger throughout the Commonwealth. Delicious stuff there. I know they also have Zero Cherry, which is Mike Pratt's favorite soda. Definitely get one of those, but
absolutely.
Oh yeah, no. By the way, I talked to our friends at AL8. There should be a shipment of them coming by the studio soon.
All right, Nikki V, good job.
So we'll hopefully be able to. There'll be a sixer chilling for you in the fridge if Drew and company don't throw it out and deem it too disgusting. I'm kidding. But no, locally here, I know this is heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network. Mike Pratt, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V on Fast Break Friday. But locally here, I work across the hallway and do. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Bill. So I didn't get to hear Coach Cal's presser today or Oscar Tshiebwe's presser today, but I know one of the major news items coming out, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that, is Shaedon Sharpe saying that he doesn't plan on leaving for the NBA draft and is going to be a Wildcat for a little while.
Well, you know, it's I jumped on the elevator to go to my room out in Texas, and Shaedon got on, and I just conversed with him a little bit. You know, I'd never met him, and he was a very charming young fellow. I'm 6'3", he's 6'5", at the most, okay? I think he's 6'5". I think this will be an interesting test of people around Sharpe. Because those are the people that are going to push him one way or the other. That's just my opinion. You know my theory.
Oh, the three F's. The three F's.
Yes, sir, buddy. And
family, friends, and fools.
Yes, sir. And I think if the right people are in his ear and saying, look, you're not going to ultimately, they're going to beat you down in the draft if you've never played where they can see you. You may hear all this stuff about the pontificators about the draft board, this and that. But that's not important. It's the NBA people, and they're not allowed to speak.
Right.
So they're sitting there thinking, the NBA people, yeah, let them say all they want to say. But, you know, I got a spot at 17 or 18. I think the kid will follow that. That's where I'm going to plug him in. I don't plug him in as a lottery. And, you know, if I'm a GM, Nikki, if I'm a GM, am I going to waste a top five or top eight pick on a guy that never played college. Last time I saw him play was last summer. We don't really have a book on him. That's a real chance, right? I mean, that's a huge, huge chance for an NBA team. Now, if he gets to play some this year and plays well, he elevates himself. But without playing, I don't see it. I may be wrong, but I just don't see people wanting to take that chance.
Well, I mean, and granted, he did play a little bit of college ball, but immediately, like, the first name that popped into my head was, you know, Scalabissier. You know, he didn't have a huge sample size on him, and, you know, he managed to sneak into the first round. I do think that, you know, Shaedon Sharpe might be have a higher ceiling than that, but I was always kind of scratched my head on Scal going with the limited amount of play that he had and tape that he had, and quite honestly, the results that he had. But you know, sometimes hype can carry you a little bit, and
7 foot, you can't teach it.
Also size, yeah, that's true. You can't teach size, as they say. But you know, Scal's a free agent right now, so I don't want to say you know, the cake hasn't completely baked on him, but it certainly, you know, hasn't exactly been sunshine and roses for him in the association. But this is what I kind of was gonna, I wanted to get your two cents on this. And then back end of the hour, I want to get your thoughts on the big matchup this weekend with Auburn against Brucey Pearl and company. This was something that the fellows were bantering about on the take, again here locally, 3-6 on ESPN 680, 105.7. We were talking about it in the back, and I thought it would have been kind of a funny segment if Shaedon Sharpe did go to the NBA and did decide on forgoing his college career, that it definitely, I feel like, would have been a feather in the cap for Cal in the sense of, you know, UK gets guys ready for the pros. And we were already kind of doing the pitch on what Cal was going to say. And it seemed like that's where it was trending last night. Now, today it's a little bit different. But overall, do you think it's going to benefit UK more as a whole for him to stick around? Or do you almost think like it would have been in this arms race that is recruiting, especially in the NIL era, do you think it would have almost maybe helped Cal and company's brand a little bit more had he decided to go to the NBA?
I definitely don't think it's going to hurt him or his brand, because Cal's always been about the players, to the chagrin of some Kentucky fans. You know, he's okay with the one and done. Even when I know some guys that were told by the NBA people that they weren't, you know, they were late first round or weren't first round, they went anyway. And even then, Cal, what he knew also was what was told to the player. He was always in support of the player. And I think he will be in support of Sharpe in this regard. But I don't think there's any downside for him. I really don't. But I'm the first one to tell you I couldn't predict what this kid's going to do. I could predict what I would do. Or if he asked me, I would predict what he should do. But, oh, man, you can't control the periphery. The last person that talks to him, maybe the most important guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll definitely see. And I know that's kind of going against the whole let the cake bake mantra that Pops usually has on the V show here. But I was just kind of thinking about it that, you know, in this new era of recruiting and how, I mean, for the longest time, the one and done was, you know, Cal, but then Duke narrowed the gap. And then you have Penny pulling these guys. And I mean, hell, even, you know, Rick Stansberry, you know, in the Commonwealth had Mitch Robinson kind of come and then didn't really play, but was getting pretty good minutes with the Knicks and your boy Kenny Payne and the New York Wildcats. I mean, it sort of seemed like this might have almost been a win in the recruiting department and for Cal, and a brand that is always about, like you said, yeah, player first, but also, hey, we get guys to the show. So, now that he's staying, how much run do you think he's actually going to have this season?
Boy, I think that's the toughest call. And I'm all for him staying. And because, you know, I don't know anything about him. So if I don't know anything about you, I can't say I would pick you. So I favor the side that he needs to stay, and let's see what he can do. Now, if he plays, that's a different story. We will get a good feel for who he is as a player.
Right.
But saying that, Nicky, You know, if you play Auburn close or beat them Saturday, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Your players are feeling pretty good about themselves. Or either or, win or lose. How do you break up that feeling, that camaraderie, that teamwork, that acceptance of a role on a team? How do you break that up for a guy who just showed up at Christmas? I think that's a tough call for Calipari. I really do think it's a tough call. And in all honesty, he probably his downside is his chemistry is really good, and if it affects his chemistry and they start losing some games, then he made a bad decision. You follow me? If they win right. games with him and he fits in, what kind of role does he play? I mean, does he really help himself by fitting into a team that, particularly the first five, six guys are pretty well set? I mean, where does he get his minutes?
Uncle Jim always had a saying. It was "Don't mess with happy," and like you said, yeah. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You're coming off a really hard road win against Texas A&M. You validate that. Not that UK needs any validation, but you handle Auburn. There's already a good deal of hype around this team, well deserved. But you beat the number two ranked team on the road after another tough road win. I mean, you got to think that not only is the team good, but those road wins, especially against tough opponents, and especially in your conference, scream mental fortitude. And those are as much victories between the ears. I feel like I've sounded like a coach cliche, but it's true. And I mean, it was just something that we were talking about over on 93.9 The Ville about U of L's team and their matchup with Notre Dame this weekend. The fact that what it can do for your psyche in terms of mental toughness, let alone what it does for your net and your your ranking and whatnot. I'm with you. I really don't. I don't know enough about the kid's game to really think what he could bring to the table at this point in his career and development. And again, I'm not a practice. You're closer to that than I am. That he could make the team better. I don't know where those minutes would come from, I guess.
And you've got this team is very fun to watch. The fans all feed off of that. And do you disrupt that to find those minutes? And everybody seems to understand their role or their niche on the team. And that's a hard place to get to as a coach, okay? So they're there. So I just think it's a dicey situation. And I know Calipari will do what is best for the player and his team. And I still think it's a tough, tough decision.
I like you said, he is players first, but he's also, he's not going to, if you have a team that, God, I mean, you're right. You get back-to-back road wins, one of which against the number two ranked team at home. I don't know how you mess with that formula. And I don't know enough about the kid's game to see where it would fit or where the minutes would come from. That's why he gets paid to coach them and I don't. But we'll definitely see.
He tries to do what's best for the young fellas. But make no mistake about it. Calipari wants to win, period. He wants to win as much as any coach in college basketball or pro basketball. So that is lost on a lot of people that he wants to win so bad. They think he just is, in favor of the player. But that's not the way it is. He wants to win. He'll do what he thinks. Now, he may make a mistake. That's possible. He may make a mistake on judging how this kid fits in, but he might not.
Well, as Pops would say, we'll let the cake bake and we'll find out. And it'll definitely be probably a little contingent on Saturday's result as UK heads down to Auburn to face number two ranked Tigers and Bruce Pearl and company there. And on the other side of this break, Mike, I want to pick your brain about that. It's Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network. and our friends in Lexington, ESPN 1300. Thanks, guys, for you listening in the 859. I think I got the right area code there. In the 502 here locally on ESPN 680, 105.7, and throughout the Commonwealth. So thanks for listening. Hang tight. Mike Pratt will give you his analysis and preview of the Wildcats and Auburn on the other side. It's Fast Break Friday.
If your New Year's resolution is to get in shape, then let Fitness Market help you with that goal. Here's the best part about Fitness Market right now. They have everything in stock. No ordering or waiting or wondering when you'll get your equipment. Walk into Fitness Market today and start working out today with your new equipment, whether you are just starting your home gym or adding to it. I love the Precore treadmill I've had for years from Fitness Market. Plus, a set of dumbbells and weights allows me to get a full cardio and strength workout right at home, thanks to Fitness Market. Check out their fully stocked showroom on the corner of Plantside Drive and Waterson Trail, where they've spent the past few years loading up on cardio and strength equipment, dumbbells, kettlebells, weights, you name it. All the great brands like Spirit, Hoist, and Matrix. So go to where our staff goes to find the best fitness equipment in town, the fully stocked Fitness Market. Two locations, Westport Road just inside the Snyder, or the Superstore, Plantside Drive and Waterson Trail, or online at thefitnessmarket.com.
Hi, this is Mike Pratt. Healthy people live with high standards, which is why I take Evercure CBD. Evercure products are only made from the sweetest flowers of premium CBD hemp grown in Kentucky. When you taste this full spectrum distilled CBD oil, you will realize why Evercure CBD is Kentucky fine bluegrass made. It is truly a local treasure. It works. Purchase your Evercure at evercurecbd.com. Enter Mike P at checkout to receive 10% off your purchase.
My name is Cynthia Torp, owner of Solid Light. I've been part of the Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2009. My business banking relationship with CB&T started when other banks weren't eager to finance my home in Southern Indiana. They helped me do this crazy thing in buying and renovating a warehouse just south of Broadway. And in 10 years, CB&T hasn't said no to me yet. When it comes to my business, having CB&T as my partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
None, not, nothing, diddly squat, zilch, nil, not a zip. It doesn't matter how you say zero, we've got something for you. Meet AL80 Sugar. Same great ginger taste with a brand spanking new look. The drink for those who want to indulge and find their calories elsewhere. Open one for yourself and you'll see a whole lot goes into zero. AL80 Sugar. Zero sugar. 100% Kentucky.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
This is Bob Valvano. As some of you know, I have stage 4 leukemia. Thanks to two new medications that are both less than 5 years old, my progress has been good and my prognosis is strong. Those medications only came about because of research funded from people like you. My late brother Jim said, "I need your help. It may not save my life, but it may save someone you love." This research is doing just that. We created Kentuckiana Friends of V, a local 501c3 organization that works in close cooperation with the V Foundation to fund research and preventive initiatives locally, right here in the Kentuckiana area. Won't you consider helping us in that quest? Sign up for an event, volunteer, or just make a donation at kfov.org. You really do help save lives. like mine. That's KFOV.org.
Great moments don't just happen. They happen with you in the stands. Whether you bleed red or blue, GuyOnTheCornerTickets.com will fill your fix. GuyOnTheCornerTickets.com provides all types of options for all events. Whether you're on a budget or want to be up close and personal, we'll fill your fix. GuyOnTheCornerTickets.com.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale81, emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network. Now, here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Ah, a little Stevie Wonder there for you, Mike.
There you go, man. Good music to buy here.
There you go. I mean, sometimes it's Motown. Sometimes, you know, it's the Temptations. I'm throwing a little Al Green every now and again, some Stones, but the funkiness of that, man, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. It is Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. As you heard from UPS man, emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios, heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V, joined by the luminary himself, Mike Pratt. And unless you live under a rock, you probably know that Mike Pratt is the analyst for the Wildcats in a massive matchup this weekend on the road against number 2 Auburn. Bruce Pearl basically said it was the biggest game in his tenure there. I don't think that's hyperbole, Mike. First and foremost, what's at stake this weekend? I mean, is it a preview of the SEC title?
Yeah, it could be. It could very easily be. I think it's a game that whoever wins or loses, Nicky, doesn't hurt it much, because both teams are respected and ranked, and it's a matter now, I think, of seeding in the conference tournament. Possibly, you know, you want to get those first four, get that bye, and also seeding in the NCAA. So there's a lot riding on it. Is it the end of the world? Not the end of the world.
I mean, I agree with you. And I mean, I feel like the SEC also, I mean, the fact that there's so many teams in the SEC that are good this year, that, I mean, there's multiple opportunities. I mean, just comparing it, looking at it through the U of L prism, if you will. I mean, Duke's pretty much the only show in town right now in the conference. I mean, you have an opportunity to bounce back against numerous teams in the SEC. You can avenge that loss to LSU. But going back to that, I mean, as a impressive as the Texas A&M win was, I mean, this would be a major feather in the cap for their resume. Not that that UK needs it, but I mean, to get a major road win, road kill, if you will, against a ranked opponent, has to have major net and seeding ramifications going forward. Correct?
Oh, it does. Make no mistake about it. It does, and. You put all your eggs in one basket? No. I think it's really, as far as coaching goes, it's a yardstick, a measuring stick for the Kentucky coaches to see where they are. Because, look, I think they have a chance to win it all. That's how good I think they are. So, you know, they have some issues. They have a tendency at times to drift a little bit and get out of what they're doing well, and Bruce, you know, brings them back very quickly. But they do have a tendency to do that, and they're going to be tested by Kentucky. So we don't know. But when it comes to long-term, there's no losers in this game.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a marquee matchup. I mean, it's no secret that UK has talent on their team with Oscar Tshiebwe, and I mean, they basically might as well just make the SEC Freshman of the Week award the Ty Washington Award of the Week, because I think he's won it, what, like five straight times or something like that. I mean, he's fantastic. But I mean, Auburn has potential first round pick, or first overall pick, Jabari Smith. Now I'm reading previews of the game, and you could shed a little light on this. You got to think that Jacob Toppin's going to be matched up against him. I mean, he's been a Wildcat that's been pretty damn good on defense all year, but has had. I mean, he's going to have a tall order in Jabari Smith. How do you see the matchup shaking out between those two?
Toppin and Smith. Toppin's going to have his hands full. Okay, this kid Smith is—he's a dandy boy. I mean, he's an NBA prototype forward. Okay, so Toppin's going to have his hands full in that regard. But I think the real key is going to be now they have eight guys who play 20 plus minutes, and then they have three more who play 10 plus minutes. They've got greater depth than Kentucky does. Okay. They've got high first round picks, lottery guys. They've got a couple other guys playing again, and maybe their little point guard Green someday will be NBA players. So, you know, they got four or five NBA players. This is a loaded basketball team. So the matchup with Toppin and Smith is important, but I think more than anything, what does Oscar, what can he do with the big fella, Kessler? And what can Kessler do with him? What I think is going to have to happen is Kentucky, as fast as Auburn wants to play, and they want to play fast, Nikki, Kentucky's got to take their breaks. They're better in transition. So you either have to cover stops or rebounds. That's what it's going to get down to. You either come and get stops if you're Kentucky, or you hold your own or win the defensive glass and get your transition going. So I think that might be where it is. That might be the counter to all this talent that Auburn has.
Well, that's what I kind of wanted to get to. You mentioned the big fella, Oscar Tshiebwe, who, I mean, has basically just been a walking cheat code all year in terms of rebounds. His scoring production, I don't think he's he's scored in double figures in, like, the past four games or so. But, I mean, he's still pulling down comfortably double-digit rebounds. I kind of wanted to pick your brain not only about the big man, but coming off the Texas A&M win, I mean, that sort of seemed like a Sevier Wheeler led with 12, I think it was. I'm trying to remember what my sports center was earlier in the week. But okay, yeah, he did have 12. All right, cool. But I could easily pull up the box score, but I'm trying to go off memory. But it was a game that kind of was definitely by committee. I mean, it didn't have the 30-point performances from Wheeler and Ty Washington that you came from the Tennessee scorching the week, you know, prior to the Texas A&M game. Do you see the production? Where do you see the minutes and also the scoring production kind of shape up? What do you predict in this matchup? Is it going to be by committee again, or is it going to have to be a star-studded performance?
No, I think it's got to be by committee. Now, Oscar, in the last couple of games, has been double and triple teamed at the low post. Since he did it with tragedy with big guys. What A&M did was they played a smaller unit, and they would have a guy from the offside where the ball was and where Oscar was come over and sit right in the paint waiting for Oscar to catch the ball to come with a double team with quicker guys. Okay, not physical, but quicker. And right. So what Oscar's got to do, and I don't think Auburn's going to double team. I think they're going to let Kessler have at him and let it be where it is. I think Oscar's going to be able to find some open people on the floor if he'll rotate that ball out. Not every time. Mix it up. Make Kessler be honest about how he plays you. And I think a guy like Mintz could hit that shot. Obviously, Tati didn't play well Wednesday night, but he's capable. And then the little guy, at times, he can make the shot. Wheeler, you saw it the other night. So I think Oscar, to take the pressure off him, he's got to move the ball out of the low post. And it gets back to my theory about transition. If you can come with some stops and you can limit them to one shot, for the most part, they're going to get some, okay? And you push it in transition, then everybody gets involved. Now, one thing about Oscar, when he's in transition, big guys have a hard time staying with him. So he's going to try to outrun Kessler and Smith, okay, and get some easy baskets and maybe draw a foul. I mean, I think that could be a big part of the game. That's the way Oscar may get his engine started, outrunning their big ass down the floor.
Just the fact that he's been double and triple teamed all year and he's still pulling down so many boards really is impressive. But yeah, no, I definitely think that Oscar and company getting Auburn in foul trouble is definitely going to be, as opposed to the other way around, because we've seen what happens when he gets into a little bit of foul trouble. They're definitely not the same team when the big man's on the bench. But we'll definitely keep an eye on that one. That'll be a massive matchup. Keep it locked to ESPN Louisville locally here. We'll have the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame with Ensign Strebel and Ensign, James, it's your birthday today. I didn't mean to not give you top billing. Happy birthday to one round father of Sia Blue and ESPN Louisville fame. Mike, feel free to tell me to go kick rocks or play kickball in traffic, but will you sing happy birthday to James Strebel right now? I know they'll play it on the mixtape, and Dan's not here to do it, and I know he gave you a lovely rendition of happy birthday, but can you give a very quick one to Strebs?
Happy birthday, Mr. Strebel. Happy birthday, James Strebel. May you have many more and 4 or 5 Busch Lights for the day. Happy birthday.
Mike, that was way better than I could have asked for. That was fantastic. Oh, man. The Jack, 12:55, my friend. I'll mark that. And hopefully that'll bring us a smile to the face of one James Strebel. All right, Mike, before we get you out of here, I just wanted to get one parting thought. I was talking about this in our pre-show meeting, if you will, in between mouthfuls of donut with Marcus Maben. Your thoughts on Penny and what's going on down at Memphis? I know he's, kind of been in the sights of, speaking of James Strebel, he's, if you've heard the promo here locally on ESPN Louisville, you know that he's among the list of Strebel's least favorite coaches, Penny. But basically going at the media a little bit yesterday, telling them to stop writing effing stories about him. I have the soundbite, but it's not edited, and I don't want to risk editing it on the fly and playing an F-bomb over the air. But not happy after last night's loss to SMU. And basically saying that some of the older guys aren't embracing the young talent. Everyone's being selfish on the team. It's a guy that we've talked about on the show before. Pops has mixed feelings. I know he liked Penny as a player. Didn't really like how he got the job over Tubby, but I'd be remiss without getting your 2 cents on the matter.
Penny was a terrific college basketball player. He had a solid NBA career also, okay? So I think he's been used to being loved all the time. And when he came back in, was going to resurrect this Memphis program, the first couple of years he was at Memphis, he was the underdog. Everybody loves the underdog. Okay? And he loved it too. Because it was his alma mater and all those kind of good things. But now, with the signing of Duren and Bates and the returning players he had, Nick, he now becomes a guy with high expectations.
Right.
And if you don't meet those, whether they're right or wrong, that's what the media fans want. You don't meet it, then you have a different kind of pressure, put on you. A different kind of pressure. And I'm not so sure he's reacting very well to that different kind of pressure.
Well, I mean, I know it's a work in progress. I know Pops wasn't really thrilled with the way that he got the job. And I think part of that is obviously, he's a friend of Tubby Smith. And I don't know. I had mixed feelings about it because, I mean, it screamed to a coach that is having to deal with superstars. I felt like it was a little bit of a rash reaction to the media for a team where it's almost like, this is the bed that you lie in. You got all these top recruit guys reclassifying. You got the job to try to resurrect a program without a ton of head coaching experience. Now, I was telling Maben, part of me is, I really like Penny. I mean, I remember my wall was adorned with these Penny Hardaway posters that were given away in the Post Honeycomb cereal boxes. I mean, I had like 4 or 5 of them all over my wall in this little sports locker I had in my room. I was a big fan of Little Penny, just like everybody. But when he got the job, I mean, I was like, all right, cool. Name, local guy, prodigal son returning to Memphis and everything. But as a guy that I was kind of, with Pops a little bit, I like Tubby Smith. And I know that he was kind of towards the back end of his career a little bit. But I don't know. It seemed like a lot of hype. Then that's what they were sold on. And then when he comes in and he's got all this talent, and I know James Wiseman didn't get a ton of run there and sat for most of the season. And you know, I'm not holding that against him, but it's sort of like, there's a tiny part of me that's like, look, Cal's been doing this for years, managing egos and getting guys to the league and everything like that. And it's almost like a tip of the cap to him for being able to manage it as long as he has. Where Penny, I don't want to say it's imploding, but it's just not a good. It's seemingly like not a good fit. The ingredients are there, but I don't know. He hasn't been able to really cook them properly.
Well, so many of the things you said are spot on. That's what I meant by it's different for Penny now, because it was a love affair previously, and he was the guy, and he had a pretty good start for 2 years, Nikki, and then all of a sudden the expectations changed, and I think he expected to be loved still, but you know, you're not going to be. When they being the media and the fans, they changed the narrative. You have to accept it or meet it. Okay, and he doesn't seem willing to accept it. He's trying to beat it, but he doesn't seem willing to accept the change, the narrative about his team, taking it personal. And it's hard as a coach not to take it personal, right?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, there's a part of me that I was sad to see Tubby go, and I was kind of with Pops on. I didn't really like how the keys just went to him, but I was a Penny fan as a kid, and I'd like to see Memphis be relevant again. So we'll see how that shakes out. We'll see how the Cats do against Auburn this weekend. The luminary Mike Pratt will be on the call. Mike, hope you're feeling better, man. I know you got an appointment to get to, so we'll get out of here, but. Any parting shots before we do?
Oh, let's. I hope the Cardinals get it straightened out. Notre Dame help a lot of people around here. You know, I hate to see Louisville in the KPR. I wanted to see him win at one time a year. So, wishing them a lot of luck.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And I mean, I guess, you know, to play into the rivalry, if U of L gets the job done and beats Notre Dame, then by the transitive property, Mike, they're better than UK. I'm just saying.
Well, you'll take a certain related egg up there, but we'll see.
Yes, we will. Mike, I know you got stuff to get to. Thank you so much for the time. Safe travels this weekend and good health, my friend.
You too, and tell Pop to get well quick.
I will, man. I'll pass that along. Thanks so much. Well, you've been listening to Fast Break Friday, emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios, heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network, stations such as our friends at ESPN Lexington 1300, presented by AL81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1929.
I stay very active.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.